In many parts of our world today, you can see the sky at night that is filled with stars. Not so much in Southern California here. Possibly out at Tonto Basin, there's plenty of stars to see. Here in this area, the most exciting thing you can do is go down towards LAX and turn and look, and you see all the stars, I mean airplanes, with their landing lights on. And it's quite a spectacular show because sometimes there's 14 or so of them stacked up waiting to land. Other than that, today our focus is on the star, an astonishing star. I have to ask the question in my mind, what was it about that astronomical event that caused the Magi to embark on such a long and dangerous journey to come worship the King of the Jews, the newborn King of the Jews? What was it that compelled them to do that? Were they astrologers that always watched the sky? Well, astrology was one of their strengths, and they knew about the prophetic literature, and they studied it, and they lined up the prophetic literature with the events that they anticipated or the events that they saw in the sky. Now, they didn't have telescopes and things like that, so most of this was just done with their visual sense that you and I all have. And they had the wisdom to understand how the planets and stars and everything moved. Did they have a timing? Did something give them a timing or a clue to the timing? Well, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 2, the first two verses. So if you would turn there, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him.'" So, in the text, in the Greek, there's an interesting term. He says that it came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, and that word in the Greek is a present participle that emphasizes continuous action. So the proper picture would be that they came into Jerusalem and they said to the first person they saw, "Where is he who was born the King of the Jews?" And they'd probably get this dumbfounded look. "What are you talking about?" In fact, you need to know that most of what we believe to be true about the Magi is, well, summed up in that hymn, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," and all that stuff. Bad biblical theology there. We don't even know if there were three. There were three gifts, but chances are, for a trip that long with people that were so elevated in society, these were the Magi, the wise men of Babylon and that whole area. They wouldn't have come by themselves. It would have been a whole entourage. So this whole entourage comes in to Jerusalem and they start asking continually, "Where is the one that was born King of the Jews? Where's the new king? You mean Herod? No, he was just born. We saw his star in the sky." Well, finally, they got connected with the right, well, not right, but they got connected with the people, Herod and his team, and That caused a lot of anxiety for them. Why? Because this was not uncommon for these type of people, wise men, magi, to come looking for the new kings. They kind of made it their deal, their habit. And so it would have really bothered the political establishment, Jewish and Roman, would have really made it a tense time, because they're here to worship a new Jewish king. Haven't you noticed that the streets are filled with Roman soldiers and Rome's in charge here? And you're saying there's a Jewish king that was just born? So you can imagine the tenseness that was there at this time. Now, let me give you some information on the cast of characters that it plays out in chapter 2 here. Herod was an Edomite. An Edomite came from Esau. You remember Jacob and Esau in the womb started fighting in the womb. And Rebecca said, what's going on? And she was told that you got two nations in there. Well, the nation of Esau is the Edomites. And Herod was an Edomite, and he knew that the Jews despised him for what his nation did to the Jews as they tried to come through their land as they were coming out of the captivity of Egypt. And he married a Jewish heiress that helped the Greeks, helped kick the Greeks out in 167 BC. So he married her so that he could get in good with the Jews. This guy was a political animal. And what happens when the politician gets in trouble? Well, they try and make the people happy. Herod, they had trouble. So he gave the people back some of their taxes. Does that sound familiar? That's kind of happened recently, hasn't it? And he would give them back tax money. In one instance, he melted some of his gold objects to buy food during a famine, and he fed the poor with that. He built theaters, racetracks, he refurbished the temple, and he built Masada. So he was very politically good, but he had a very dark side. He was cruel, merciless, jealous, and very suspicious, and very, very fearful of him losing the job that he probably bought of being the king of the Jews, as the Romans literally called him. He had his wife's brother, the high priest at the time, drowned. And then he threw a big funeral for him and went and cried his eyes out over his death. Yeah, right. Then he had his wife, her mother, and three of his own sons killed, because he's the king. It was a common saying that it was safer to bring a dog into Herod's house than a family member. He was certainly what we would term today as a madman. So it's not surprising when he gives the order to kill all of the children two and under in Bethlehem and surrounding areas. Back to our wise men. They have a celestial view, one that is common today with our astrologers, but not so common back then. But when they saw his star rise, they traveled probably 2 years when they arrived in Jerusalem. They were looking for his star. How did they know? Well, they knew the approximate timing. We need to remember that Daniel was held captive by the Babylonians, but he was one of the wisest young men, and so they put him in, for lack of a better term, Babylon U, and they wanted to teach him all about their culture and what they believed. So he got their version of the story of creation and their version of the story of the flood and all of that. And he excelled. We know from reading Daniel that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had some dreams, and he asked all of his magi to come in, and he wanted to make sure that they didn't just guess at what his dream meant. So he said, I want you to tell me the dream first, and then you can tell me what it means. They weren't able to do that. Daniel's basically said, I don't know, but I know God who gives dreams to people. Let me go ask him. And so he came back and he told him what his dream was and he told him what the dream meant. He was elevated to the highest level there in the Magi world. And he remained in that level for his whole life, as far as we can tell. And it's also known through the history books that there was a Daniel-type university created for those that wanted to study the prophecies and the things that Daniel had committed to his inner circle, his inner group. So there were all kinds of lessons and illustrations and dreams that Daniel had that are not part of the biblical record, but these people would have been taught it. Now, we do know from Daniel chapter 9 that he is given a dream that tells him when the Messiah is going to be cut off, his 70 weeks. So we know the point of death of the Messiah, so they could have figured it's, you know, during just this time period. But more than likely, they probably had some inside scoop on what they needed to be watching the heavens for. Now, we're going to get a little bit into the astrological perspective. So this is going to be sort of like an astronomy class. Basically, you need to understand what a conjunction is, or alignment. It's when two celestial objects that are traveling in the same celestial longitude align with each other. And the result is each of their brightness is exhibited in one spot. In 1980, there was discoveries because of the scientific world understanding more about how the planets are moving, that the observatories, you can go to it and go to a planetarium and you look up at the ceiling and they show you the sky and they show you as the planets are moving and so on. And it became known to them that the astronomers are really interested in this time period of 3 and 2 BC because there were a lot of things happening in the skies at those times. And modern astronomers became so interested in this that the Griffith Observatory people got intrigued and say, well, come to our planetarium and let's project on the ceiling from 5 BC to 1 BC and let's see what we see. And the word that was around at the time was on June 17 of 2 BC, Jupiter and Venus aligned and became a very bright, bright star. So they watched the play of the stars and the dance of the planets. And when it came time for June 17th of 2 BC, they saw Jupiter and Venus align, and they were astonished. That's their term. They were astonished at the brightness, and this would have been seen on the horizon during the sun setting. And they saw this light, and then through the night, that light of those two planets remained. And it got so popular that a lot of the observatories had special openings for the month of December so that you could go in and see this star show, this conjunction. So it's like a time machine that they're able to run back, play it forward, and we can watch it. So we know scientifically that that's the position of the planets and what it would have looked like. Now, there's some very interesting things about in 3 BC when Jupiter and the star Regulus aligned. Jupiter represents the kingship. It represents coronations of kings. It represents the birth of kings. The Romans themselves were all excited because there was one of these events, and they found out a few years later that Augustus was born at that time. So in Hebrew, the word for this planet of Jupiter is called
Tzedek.
Got that?
Tzedek.
I asked Dr. Ortner how to pronounce that, and he says, well, you say a T and then an S right together. And I said, like this? And he said, no, not like that. So I found
Tzedek. Tzedek.
Okay. So that was a lot easier for me to pronounce. That word means justice, or in the Jewish terminology, righteousness. Jupiter is the righteousness. It's also a term that they use for Messiah. So that's what Jupiter is. Regulus is in the constellation of Leo. Leo is the tribe of Judah's constellation. And Regulus is the king star. It's the brightest star. It's nearest the sun. And therefore, it's the king star. And we know that Jesus was going to be coming out of the tribe of Judah. It gets even more and more interesting. Let's take a look at September 11th of 3 BC. You see the picture up there where you have, there we go, where you have the horizon, and there's the sun. This is Virgo, which is the constellation Virgo, meaning virgin. And the sun is going through as at an elliptical orbit right where a lady has the womb. And notice that there's a moon at her feet. At the time, one of the days, it was a new moon. And this is what is so amazing about this, is that this configuration was visible at sunset and throughout the night. Now, keep in mind what that picture looks like, and let me read from Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This illustration, her head's off the page. And she was being with child, and she was travailing in birth, and it pained, and she was pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 10 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. He had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. We know that the heavens are God's handiwork, that he is the one that created it. The signs of the zodiac were not originally used for your fortune and to figure out when you were born and what you're going to be like. It was originally made for, it included the 12 tribes of Israel, as we've already talked about, for the tribe of Judah. And it was for the characteristics and the ministry of the life of the Messiah. It was redemption's plan written in the skies. And those earlier on, before it was confused by the evil one, Satan, they knew that. So that this would not be a surprise that this particular verses in Revelation is about the birth of Christ. That was September 11th, 3 BC. And from that time to the 13th of the month, Jupiter and Regulus, the king planet and the king star, could be seen approaching conjunction between the hours between dawn and sunset. It wasn't precisely aligned at the time, but you could see that it was going to occur. Interestingly enough, this happened in the constellation of Leo. Leo, the lion of Judah, and part of it was happening in the constellation of Virgo, the Virgin. Exactly 1 month before, August 12th, they would have witnessed the close conjunction of Jupiter, which would be the representative of the Father, and Venus, the Mother. They were only 0.07 degrees apart from each other as they appeared in the morning on the eastern horizon. So there's a very close union between the Father and the Virgin. 19 days later, Venus came to within 0.36 degrees of Mercury, a similar astronomical display. Astronomical because it is just so amazing. It's just amazing that all of these things are happening and all of these things are visible today if you go to a planetarium and they set the things up correctly. Then on September 11th, the new moon occurred, which was the Jewish New Year. And when the Jewish New Year was happening, they blew trumpets in Jerusalem from sunup to sundown. It would be a lot of noise in that particular party. And the king planet approached the king star. And on September 14th, they came to their first conjunction, their first alignment. And that is what makes this an extraordinary year. And then over an 8-month period after this, they do it 2 more times. And in fact, in doing it the 2 more times, what happens is the alignment takes place, and then Jupiter moves on, and then it goes into retrograde, which means basically it reverses and it comes back and has a close connection, goes on, and then goes back to its normal, not retrograde, and goes on to the other side. So it's as if you've drawn a circle around the king star with Jupiter. The next conjunction, in case you're interested, is going to be of Jupiter and Regulus. It's going to be in July of 2146. Mark your calendars. And probably, I don't know, that's quite a few years from now. Why? Every one of these celestial occurrences that we've been talking about has happened when the sun or the planets were positioned in the constellation of Leo the Lion or of Virgo, the Virgin. There's one final question that we need to be able to answer, though, because this light show that God had put on is probably what they were anticipating and what they were waiting for, and it would be something that was astounding and hard to miss. So why did they end up in Jerusalem, not Bethlehem? They're just 5 miles apart. First thing we need to remind ourselves is that the Bible doesn't say they followed the star from their home to Jerusalem. We've seen by the history of what the planets were doing that it appeared a number of times, 3 to be exact, and that was signs that they were going the right direction and that this was an actual event that was happening. But they ended up in Jerusalem and had to ask the question, where is the king of the Jews? Well, when they finally found out, Herod called him in and said, that Bethlehem's the place you're looking for. And if you'd go and search for it, I'd love to come and worship him. So come back and report, as he had ascertained the time of the first star that shone in the sky that they were following. The Bible later in Matthew, which Pastor John's going to be talking about, says very clearly that the star reappeared as they left Jerusalem and literally led them to the house where the 1-year-old, maybe 2-year-old, Jesus was. It stood over the house. So what was that? My guess, my sanctified speculation would be it was Shekinah glory. The thing that the Israelites experienced in the wilderness. This is God's glory leading these wise men, these magi, to the right place. Now it's interesting that this star only appears in Matthew's gospel. And it was their Jewish New Year time of the season. So there were a lot of parties and things like that going on. And I've read that the Jews were not permitted to look at the stars and try and ascertain what was going on with them, because it was a corrupt medium to do that in their day and age. So this is something that probably went unnoticed by all the Jews, but not the Magi of Daniel's school. So, if you go to put a star on your Christmas tree, you can remember that it is because of a tremendous, astounding light show that literally happened in the 3rd and 2nd century BC. Lord, we thank you for your word. You clearly have spelled out the future things that are happening. And Lord, our understanding is still lacking completely. We can now study the stars in ways that we've never been able to before, so we can play it back and see what possibly drew the Magi to take journey. But Lord, help us not to get weighed down in details. Help us to realize that what we're looking at is something that you created at the very beginning of time. Before anything was created, you had the plan of redemption in mind. And you had the birth of your son in mind. So it's very plausible that you created the planets to align in such a spectacular fashion with stars and other heavenly objects to demonstrate your power. So we pray that as we approach this season, we will remember that it's not about stars and magi and all these wonderful things. You are very clear in Scripture where you say the heavens declare the glory of God, the glory of redemption. That's what they are declaring. So help us to keep that in mind as we run around and buy gifts, as we run around and enjoy Christmas dinners and the celebration of singing songs of the season. Help us to remember it's because of the plan of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen.